Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Acts chapter 12, we just stand for the reading of God's word. Verse 1, are you all there? About that time, King Herod Agrippa, began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with the sword. And when Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. What did the church do? They prayed very earnestly for him. The night before Peter was to be placed under trial, he was asleep. Shows you how worried he is. Fastened with two chains between two soldiers, others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and the angel of the Lord stood before Peter, and the angel struck him on the side to awaken him. Do you find that funny? That boy was asleep. And he said, "Quick, get up." The chains fell off of his wrists, and the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals." And he did. "Oh, he put on and put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell following the angel, but all the time he thought it was a vision. It shows you how common visions are and how real they are. He didn't realize it was actually happening. Verse 10. And they passed the first and the second guard post and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. "It's really true," he said. "The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and for what the Jewish elders had planned to do to me." When he realized this, he went to the life group, the small group, the cell group, the home of Mary. I added the emphasis. Amen. The mother of Mary, John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. And he knocked at the door of the gate, and the servant girl named Rhoda came and opened it. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told the life group, the small group, the cell group, "Peter's standing at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. When she insisted, they said, "It must be his angel," which it also shows you what kind of relationship they had in the supernatural to think that. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally opened the door and saw it was him, they were amazed. He motioned for them to quiet down and told them how the Lord had led him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers what happened," he said, and then he went to another place. At dawn, there was a great commotion among the soldiers about what had happened to Peter. Herod Agrippa ordered a thorough search for him, and when he couldn't be found, Herod interrogated the guards and sentenced them to death. Afterward, Herod left Judea to stay in Caesarea for a while. Now Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, so he sent a delegation to make peace with him. They sent a delegation to make peace with him because of their cities were dependent on Herod's country for food. And delegates won support. You move further down, Herod speaks to them, and they say, "This is not the voice of man, but of God." And then in verse 13, instantly an angel of the Lord struck Herod with sickness, because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died. Whoa. Verse 24, meanwhile, the word of the Lord continued to spread. There's many new believers. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Move in power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Herod was a nut job. I mean, just a brutal ruler. A brutal ruler known for an oppressive reign who sought to curry favor with the Jews after he killed James. James is martyred, and he thought, well, this is awesome. The Jews like me a whole bunch for killing them, this sect of the way. So they took the chief apostle, Peter. And this is a crescendo of his leadership and the persecution of the church, except for the fact that he would be killed himself. So Peter's about to be martyred. He's bound in chains. They have four squads of four soldiers each, which is also, you know, the Bible's funny. To be like, I mean, how many guys would it take to hold me down? At least 15. But four squads, just a few, just one of you, that would be enough. Four squads of four soldiers. I mean, you get the idea, like, I mean, he must have been some like super MMA star. Or maybe he was just a regular guy and God was with him. And I would say they didn't even have MMA. He was just a regular guy and God was with him. And they were afraid that something was going to happen. And so they figured, I mean, like between two soldiers. And he's chained. I mean, you get this picture, like there is no way in the natural that Peter's coming out of this one. And you can see how concerned he is, which is an affront to many of us. I had quite a night with the Lord just two nights ago. And I was burdened with some concerns. And as I was going through those concerns, the Lord brought them to my awareness in the middle of the night, most of the night. And when he brought them to my awareness, I began to get concerned. And then the Lord just speak to me and said, son, enjoy what's happening right now. I'm like, okay. I'm going to enjoy it, as he was exposing things in my life that he wanted me to change, attitudes, different things like that. And then things concerning the vision, the church and the vision, different people and challenges and wisdom. And I just kept hearing the Lord say, enjoy yourself. I'm with you. I'm showing you things. I'm rebuking you. See, some of you think of a rebuke from the Lord, a correction from the Lord is like, man, the Lord corrected me. Yeah, it's a sign of his great love for you. You need a spanking. You missed a great place to say amen. If you have anything in you that needs to be corrected, wouldn't it be fantastic? Don't you hate when you've got a piece of lettuce that's just slapping around in your teeth? And then someone's like, but they don't tell you, dude, that's gross. Funny you talk about the mint. Somebody offered me a mint. And so if somebody offers you mint, you always take it. So when they offered me a mint, I said, do I have bad breath? And there was somebody that's close to us. They said, yes. I said, praise the Lord. I think they gave me three, which means I had really bad breath. Peter's about to be martyred, but there's no worry in him. There's no concern at all. Concern with everybody else. Four squads, four soldiers, chains, inner prison. He's in there. He's shackled. He's sleeping. And he's sleeping so soundly that when a bright light comes, come on, if a cell phone goes off in my room, it wakes me up. The bright light started turning it off. It's my wife's now that wakes me up. Anyway, a bright light shines, and he still doesn't wake up. And then the angel's like, dude, and he kicks him. I mean, he kicks him on the, strikes him on the side. Go do a little Greek word study of what that is. It wasn't like, he gave him a good boot. And Peter, it's like, oh. I can just imagine with a giant beard, a little spittle coming down the side because I think he's snoring. He's about to be killed the next day. Shows you what kind of worry he had. Oh God, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do, God? No, he wasn't worried because Jesus had already prophesied over him that you would die an old man's death. He talked to him in the same way someone else will dress you. You're going to be older. So this, he wasn't older here. And so he's not worried. Don't worry. Get a word from the Lord. He had a word from the Lord. So he's asleep. The angel wakes him up. But I also think it's interesting that the angel didn't stand him up. So the angel had to wake him up, but then he had to stand himself up, get up. He had to obey.
I don't want to get up.
Well, no miracle for you. You're just going to lose your head then. He had, listen, God does things for you, and you need to do things too. God won't do what you can do if you... And it's interesting also with the angel. If you see the angel, no notes for you. You just take notes, hopefully with pen and paper. And the best is really when God writes on our own hearts. But think about the angel. He wakes him up. He brings him out. He brings him out, and the iron gate, an automatic gate, opens all by itself. And the angel is with him on the street, and then suddenly the angel leaves. You know why? He doesn't need the angel anymore. He can go with his own 2 feet and go to the life group, the cell group, the home group, the small group. He can go to Mary's. He can go to Mary's house where the church is praying. He can go by himself. He doesn't need the angel to bring him there. He decides to bring himself there. And that, to me, is profound. You know, I've found that angelic help, a supernatural breakthrough comes when I'll put myself in a position to need it. I needed supernatural breakthrough this morning. Specific challenges that we're facing. You know, you're taking territory, you're always going to get pushed back. If it was easy, anybody would do it. It's a war. Pastor Gill happens to call me right when I'm walking out to a specific point on this property that has great meaning for me. Not that you have to have one, but I happen to bring my shofar because it's fun. Oh, I brought my shofar and I get that specific place and you call me. You call me, I put you on speakerphone and we prayed in agreement for, I don't know, what was it, 60 seconds? Maybe longer, but not much. It wasn't a big, long prayer. And it was like, I heard a bell ring. I heard something break and everything changed. Wham! In one moment. We had supernatural breakthrough, and then I began to see it throughout the day. It manifested during the day, but it happened in prayer right at a specific moment, and it didn't take but 60 seconds. But you know something? I could have stuffed my hands in my pocket and not prayed, not stood, not agreed. Some of you don't have the kind of breakthrough God wants you to have because when you get woken up, you go back to sleep and you don't get up. You got to get up. You got to do your part. Now he goes to Mary's house, and really the key text is linchpin. Part of the text is this whole thing on prayer. It's, I had you repeat it, Acts 12 and verse 5. Go there, look with me. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Very earnestly. How to get supernatural breakthrough. How to have epic supernatural breakthrough in your life. There's many components of it, but simplified for tonight's message and what I feel the Lord is saying to us is prayer. You're like, oh, another message on prayer, for God's sake. Yeah, well, maybe you should listen to this one and start doing it, and then you'll have a message on prayer yourself. Bump your neighbor and say, he might be talking to you. You know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep, that if I die before I wake, is not going to get it. It's not going to bring faith to the heart of your little child, as cute as it was. And your grandma taught it to you, and God bless your godly grandma, and God bless your godly heritage, and all the cute little nursery rhyme prayers. That is not bind demon power and set the captives set free. It doesn't bring anybody out of a place of despondency. It doesn't break demon power. It doesn't move vision forward. It will never fulfill. That kind of prayer will not release epic supernatural breakthrough. Earnest prayer, fervent prayer is very different than a pleading and a begging, oh God, Oh, Lord. You know my heart. And if you have time, would you please, I'll quit coffee for a month. If you would just please, you start bartering with God. If you save me, I'll become a priest. What? How many of you ever made a deal with God? I made a deal once. I was desperate, newly married. And I went out to the beach in Hawaii, and I went to swim from Maui to Lanai. Bad idea. It's long, and it's one of the most dangerous bodies of water. The Molokai current that goes right through there, very dangerous. I swam out probably, I don't know, mile and a half, maybe? I can swim. I used to swim a lot. So I swam out a mile and a half. Didn't go longer because I was really fat back then, and that was about as much as I could do. So at a mile and a half, fatter, I should say, at a mile and a half, I got to the place where I was like at the end of myself, and I'm thinking, I'm out here. There could be sharks. What are you doing? And as I look at Lanai, I'm like, Lord, can you save me? I don't even think I can make it back. God, Karen's on the beach. What have I done? I was so desperate. I was like, I'm going to swim until you talk to me. I was a younger, immature believer, less mature than. Raise your hand if you're still growing up. Amen. Come on. I looked out at all the mountains of Lanai, and I saw the army of the Lord. I was in the water, bobbing in the water, and I saw the army of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me and said, son, more are with you that are against you. Now swim back. I'm going to help you. Don't be afraid. I swam back. God gave me a plan while I was swimming back and released epic supernatural breakthrough. I would venture to tell you that you could just leave out the swimming part. You could just leave out the swimming part and get the fervent, fiery, one accord part in your heart. Where if he doesn't answer you, you're going to die. That kind of press, that kind of determination, that kind of zeal, that kind of passion. It's limp-wristed, lackadaisical, weak, sissified Christianity that doesn't get anything done. I got like five people amening. Are you guys okay? Yeah. Lift your hands to heaven. Oh, God. It's either really convicting in here or I don't know. Come on, just thank God right out loud. Thank you, God. Help me not be a sissy. Go ahead, tell him. Help me. Pastor Karen's not here. You never know what's going to happen. Their prayers were intense. Their prayers were impassioned declarations to heaven. Their prayers were that which moved heaven. If your prayer doesn't move you, it oftentimes won't move heaven. And he said, well, God hears everything. Yes, he does. But there's forces of darkness and there's things that are happening where you've got to press through. Sometimes prayer is like, you feel like it just hits the ceiling and nothing happened. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know why? Because nothing happened. So you keep praying. It's called praying through. Praying through. You pray till you go through. And how do you know you go through? Buddy, you know. It was 60 seconds this morning. Honestly, I'd have kept praying, but that was it. It was like, boom. I thought, hey, isn't that great? Because I had a lot to do. So we just had 60 seconds. Of course, we prayed up to that point. And the night before, I had prayed all night. So it's not like it was 60 seconds. It just popped at that specific fervent 50 seconds. And it was fervent. You might have heard me. Not only on the phone. I mean, like, we were getting after it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's not that you're demanding from God, but you in the city of your soul have a settled confidence and a resolve to know what God's will is. And once you know God's will, then beat the fool out of everything else and drive that thing until it comes to pass. You drive it through. I've recently been convicted. I was listening to a healing conference with Randy Clark. Old conference. The thing had to be 15 years old. And I'm listening to this healing conference, and he was talking about the kingdom of God. And he's so eloquent and kind and merciful and humble. I'm like, Lord, help me be more gracious. He's so gracious. He's just so humble and gracious. And it is not boring because he's so anointed and filled with content and revelation. Well, I'm listening to him, Randy Clark, for all you note takers. There's a great book, There's More. I would encourage you to read it. Well, he shared about people who believe that the kingdom is now, that the fullness of the kingdom is now. It's theological error. The fullness of the kingdom is not now. It's the kingdom of God is here, but not in its fullness. So there is a now, not yet idea. And you can read George Ladd and different books talking about the kingdom past and present and future. The fullness of the kingdom will come. All of that's fascinating, right? And it's good to understand that. And if I just went over your heads, don't worry. I'm going to bring it back. So I was listening to that, and he said, you know, I'm convicted that many times I'll pray. Listen closely, all of you that have been in Christendom for a long time. Listen close, because I found myself convicted. I'll pray, and then when I don't see the breakthrough right away, I'll pray a little bit more, I'll press in a little bit more. And then if it's really resistant, I've found myself leaning back on the, well, not now. Well, God knows. Could it be that we've leaned back on our laurels of not now in the kingdom instead of actually taking a fervent demand until the thing manifests? And I tell you, absolutely, it is possible, yes. And I'll just talk to I'm convicted. I'm convicted of that. Now, I pray the prayer of Paxson was that which brought the miracle. But it could be that somebody will sit in that room, fast and pray until that thing fully manifests. Could it be that way? Yes. It's not magic. We don't believe in magic. We believe in God. We believe in His Word. We believe in faith. So when the church is praying, they're praying fervently. Lots of scriptures for that. And I mean no disrespect at all. But there's a demand. We rest many times. I hope I'm okay with that. I wish Pastor Karen was here now to double check me, because she'd be like, you need to fix that. So let me just fix it just in case. There's a brokenness of faith that comes not as a demand on the word. Once you know what God's will is, not demanding of God, but standing on the word until it comes to pass. And many times we'll just rest on the sovereignty of God. Sovereign. He does what he wants, whoever he wants to. So, well, Lord, you're good and you can do it. And I'm so grateful that he does. The truth is I wouldn't be standing here if he hadn't intervened over and over again. You know, I'm seeing these breath mints out front. Are those for me? No? So the sovereignty of God... The sovereignty of God is a beautiful thing because he's a good God. Come on, someone say he's a good God. But there's a very bad devil. Many times when destiny is in the balance, and when someone has a very rich prophetic destiny, the enemy will try to kill that person before they can actually see it come to pass. And many of you could tell the story about all of that, as can I. I've learned that there's a fervent prayer that releases epic supernatural breakthrough. And I've found also, it seems that most Christians don't know how to fight. It's the same five people telling me to come on. I am. Tell them. Come on. Come on. You can overcome. God's word in your mouth, as he spoke to Reinhard Bonnke, God's word in your mouth is the same as God's word in his mouth. So if you'll get a, come on, pray for a gift of faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Yes. Read the word. Learn the word. Pray the word. You know when people are in the word of God? When they're actually, it's coming out of their mouth. If it doesn't come out of your mouth, you're really not got it in you. I've hidden your word in my mouth, Psalm 100. I'm preaching better than your amen, and I'm starting to feel the fire right now. Psalm 119, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When you get the word deep down in you, something changes. It's like swallowing an atomic bomb, and it just stirs in you. The prophet Jeremiah said, like a fire shut up in my bones is your word. I can't help but pray it, can't help but preach it, can't help but speak it, can't help but declare it. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light upon my path. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain forever. We're not supposed to be sissified Christians. We're supposed to be those that really contend with the word and don't back off. Villages lie in the balance for the word that he's placed within you. Wield it like a two-edged sword. Take the head off of every bit of opposition. Sickness, disease, infirmity, depression. Deal with it. Deal with those things. Take it off. Lust, greed, avarice. I don't even know what that is. That's like King James right there. Avarice. You know we're all in the Holy Ghost when the King James starts coming out. Greed. That's avarice. Hello, deliver me from avarice. Come on. Lift your hands to heaven. You are not a regular people. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the church in Corinth, said you're acting like mere men. Listen to this. There's quarreling and arguing. You're behaving like mere men. Come on, you ever said to your kid, quit acting like a baby? You ever heard that? Yeah. You say to your 12-year-old, stop acting like a child. Is a 12-year-old a child? No, it's a young person. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. That's what he says. Stop acting like a human being. A mere human being. A what? Mere. A regular human being. How'd I get down here? Because you're not a regular human being. You are a supernatural, blood-bought, spirit-filled person on purpose, on destiny, walking, performing, and perfected by God himself, laying hands on the sick and they will recover. You'll speak with new tongues and nothing by any means will harm you. You are a supernatural people. Quit living beneath your God. Am I yelling?
Hallelujah. Glory.
I'm preaching fervently. Amen. Hopefully I didn't scare the children. You've been washed by the blood. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. You're born again. And if you're not, we'll fix that here in just a little bit. God is for you. If it was just about getting saved, you'd drop dead the second you prayed a sinner's prayer. You're supposed to enforce the kingdom. You are an enforcer of what's already taken place. The finished work of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, has put judgment upon the devil, who still prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But for those who are in Christ, for those who live holy, for those who are the redeemed, he's a toothless lion. But he needs to be evicted. He needs to be forcefully pushed out of your family, forcefully pushed out of your life, forcefully pushed out of your mind, pushed out of your attitudes, pushed out of your heart, pushed out of the hospital room. And it's a different sort of, different breed of Christian that prays like that. Well, I'm not that breed. I'd encourage you to change, because you'll have way more breakthrough. Don't lean on God's sovereignty, although he is sovereign. Don't take it as an excuse. Oh, this is so good. Right here. This is worth writing down. Don't take God's sovereignty as an excuse for inaction. You use your faith. You pray God's word. Come on, I'm like the angel kicking you right now. Get up. Get up. Don't I sound like James Brown for a second? I better move on. James 5 and 1. Earnest prayer of a righteous man, not a sinner. Earnest prayer. Passionate, fiery, intense prayer. Turn to James 5. Underline it. James 5, 1B. There's A and B. I don't know what A says because I don't have that on my notes. I just have B. Oh, maybe it says something like Elijah was a man like with a nature like ours. Is that it right there? James 5. Anybody have a Bible tonight? How about a cell phone? Do you have a cell phone? James 5, 1. The earnest prayer, B. James 5, 16. I'm just making sure you're paying attention. 16B. Sixteen is different than one. In fact, it's 15 verses ahead. The earnest prayer, the fervent prayer, the fiery prayer, the passionate prayer of a righteous person, of a blood-washed person who's repented of their sin, who's been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light, a person that prays, who's been washed and cleansed and living holy before God, of course, ultimately made holy, even the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus through your repentance, through his shed blood over your sin so that you're made right. That kind of person, the fervent, passionate prayer of a person who's been made right by the way that God makes people right through the blood, living that out. That kind of prayer brings epic, supernatural breakthrough. Greek word, earnest. I can't pronounce it, but here's what it means. It's this connotation of something that's stretched out. It's everything you have. If I was to drop right here and do as many push-ups as I could, I would eventually get to the place where I'm slowing down, and then like it really gets slow, and then it's like, one more! That would be the earnest point. Arms trembling, and you're squeezing out one more. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Earnest. Epic supernatural breakthrough comes when a church like this church, like this life group, like this cell group, like this small group, prayed for Peter's release. The tying in the context of this passage, the angelic release comes as an aspect or a byproduct of their prayer meeting. That is the tie that the Holy Spirit's making. The angel just didn't show up because Peter's a nice guy and Peter's got faith. And he obviously does because he's sleeping and drooling and snoring. He's not worried. Worry is the opposite of faith. Worry is like faith in reverse. What are we going to do? Trust God. Don't be afraid. He's not worried. The church is praying, angels released. It reflects the deep intensity and intentionality of your prayer. Pray specifically. Pray with purpose. Pray with passion. Pray like you mean it. There's another word here of continuous. It's this picture of continuous prayer. Aidaiphtros is the Greek. Don't ask me to say that again. It's praying without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's continuous. It's really a picture of persistent, ongoing, purposeful prayer that doesn't end. I had a great moment today with Rob Hyslip, although he doesn't know it. On the second row. I love you, Rob. You're amazing. So, we had a conversation and we went to hang up, but I fumbled the hang up, and apparently you did too. And I heard you praying in tongues the second we hung up. You thought we hung up, but we didn't. And I heard you praying in your prayer language, which you do all the time. And I thought, oh, here I am on the point of continuous praying continually. And that is a person, it's a picture of someone who prays continually. My wife prays continually. It's just not a, there's not a quiet moment where she's just not, you know what I mean? She's talking, but if you catch her and she has a moment, she's praying in the spirit under her breath all the time. All the time, like I'm not exaggerating. Mostly. She's not just there quietly. There are those times. But she's praying continually. When we're going to sleep, we pray. And then we'll be done praying, and I'll be fading off. And then I'll hear her talking to me, and I realize she ain't talking to me. I thought she was. She's like, "You're so amazing." I'm like, "Thanks, baby." She's so awesome. I'm like, "Yeah, that's right." "You're so awesome. I love you, Lord." I'm like, oh. That's the kind of wife you want. That's the kind of husband you want. That's the kind of person gets epic, supernatural breakthroughs. It's praying fervently. It's praying consistently. And it's praying unified prayer. That word unified, go to Acts 2. I've taught you this over the years, but it was a revelation to me when I first got it. And it still is today. Unified. We have unity in this church. We have a no strife rule. What does that mean? It means when there's envy and strife, we confront it, we deal with it. We don't allow it in our hearts. I don't allow it in my staff. And we just shouldn't have strife, because the Bible says in the book of James, where there's envy and strife, there's every evil practice. So, I mean, you could just take that. How many of you know a situation where there's a bunch of strife, or somebody always has to be right, or there's always contention all the time with somebody? Same five people. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you see there's strife, it is a breeding ground for the enemy. It's a breeding ground for the devil. So keep it out of your house. You're going to discuss things passionately. It's also known as arguing. That's okay. Get to the other side of it. Stick a fork in it. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath, which means you can be really long, angry for a really long time in the summer, but in the winter, there's only about 4 hours in Alaska that you can be angry in the winter. The picture is set a time on your anger. Don't let it go on for day after day after day. Acts 2. Thank you. Acts 2. Are you all there? Give a big hallelujah. Okay, I'm not there yet. Come on, lift your hand to heaven and say, "God, I'm going to increase my prayer life, because I need to increase and breakthrough." Come on, say this. Say, "I carry breakthrough. And as far as it depends on me, I'm going to see breakthrough." You said it. I made you say it. I know I kind of semi-tricked you. Acts chapter 2. It's my new Bible. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like a mighty rush of wind. Sorry, go back to Acts chapter 1. Where is that scripture? You know what, I moved to the New Living Translation and it just messes me up sometimes. Verse what? 1:4? Thank you. I think it's 2:1. So we're scratching the New Living Translation for tonight, for this scripture. Praise God for my phone. Go to Acts 2, and I'm going to go a New King James. Acts chapter 2, if you're all there. Pray wildly. I'm just kidding. Acts 2, I'm almost there. Talk amongst yourselves. We'll be right back. There we go. When the day of Pentecost, verse 1, had fully come, they were all with one accord. That's the word I'm looking for, the one accord. It's not that it's not there in the New Living Translation. It just says it differently, and I've been reading so many different versions over the years. One accord. Everybody say one accord. How many of you have homogenized milk at home? How many of you know what a homogenized milk is? Okay. And I lived in Greece for a period of time, and I remember watching, I worked on a dairy farm for part of it, and I watched and helped make homogenized, I milked cows, it's terrible, you gotta get up at like 3 a.m, you gotta milk them twice a day. It's not terrible, I mean, if you're called to be a dairy farmer, it's just, my hands hurt, and a lot of work. And then they use electronic means, but anyway, homogenized milk. They beat the milk to the fat particles blend and become one with all of the other parts of the milk. And I'm no milk guy, but you understand what I'm saying. Homogeneous is one particular type. Like all male would be a homogeneous group. All female is only two sexes, male and female. Homogeneous male, Homo sapiens. Okay, so it's one. The word is one. All right, one. Thumadon or thumos is the root word for what? For heat. Thermometer, have you heard that? It's a root word there. So homothumadon, what does that mean? It is a violent oneness, a violent unity. It's some of you played ball. It's when you're playing ball and you go into the zone. And you're in the zone. Anybody know what I'm talking about playing sports? I'll give another illustration after. But it's like you can't miss. You're just like, you're in it. Buckets, just three point, can't miss the play. It's just like there's a unity. When a unity comes in a basketball team like that, they're like unstoppable. Same thing basically in every sport. Same thing in Christianity. When you get a group of people and you get a company of people, when you get a life group like at Mary's house, when Peter's in the prison and they enter into fervent, continual, united prayer, it's not like they're thinking about their burnt toast or not thinking about whether they got the latest download or their phone is being updated. It's not whether they have a wife. How many bars you have? I got three. Dude, I only have two. How come you have here? Stand on 1 foot, put tin foil on your head. I mean, I don't know. It's not about you're thinking about anything else. You're thinking about, oh God, deliver Peter in the name of Jesus. Set him free. Send your angel. Do something. Don't let him die. Intervene in the name of Jesus. Release your power. And it's like they're focused, all praying like that. That's how this building was built. You want to know how to do something impossible? First of all, nothing's impossible with God. When you get a people united in prayer and in action, aligned with the word of God, the will of God, it will happen. Period. How to have epic, supernatural breakthrough is prayer. Are you serious right now? It is. There's action involved. It's praying. It's praying God's word. It's praying God's will. It's not relying on his sovereignty and allowing for inaction just that God would come and save you because he loves you. I love that. I love when he does that. But many times he wants to save me by me praying. And the more I grow up in God and I'm still maturing like many of you, and that never ends, I'm becoming more and more aware of the power and the authority and the efficacy of the Word of God in my prayer life to turn the battle at the gate, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, and set the captives free. And I'm starting to realize that it's not just His kingdom here, but in fullness later. What wasn't Jesus' time became his time when Mary said, wait on him. She said, it's not my time. It became his time when they waited on him. You know, it's amazing. You press in, what might not be time could become time. You're going to make it. You're more than going to make it. You will fulfill the plan of God. God's done everything that needed to be done so that we could now do our part. Peter's freed from prison. Wow. God sends angels. There is an increase of angelic activity here at Kings. How do you know that? I just know. I see it. I sense it. I prophesy it. And it's biblical. It's a biblical thing. Hebrews 1 and 14, therefore angels are servants of God, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Inherit salvation, that's the fullness of it. Psalm 91, that was the scripture I kept quoting in the middle of the night while I was getting chastised and corrected and receiving instruction and reproof, the Lord telling me to enjoy it, and I found Psalm 91 coming out of my heart. It's a beautiful psalm, verse 11. Well, he will give charge over his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so that it won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Daniel said, the angels shut the mouths of lions. Devil, a picture of a lion, he'll shut his mouth. Come on, someone say, devil, shut your mouth. In Jesus' name. Luke 1, pregnancy of Elizabeth and announced, and Gabriel. Acts 27 is a beautiful picture of the Apostle Paul in a shipwreck. I was in the Prince William Sound in November. It hadn't snowed yet, but it snowed a little bit up on the mountains to push the deer down. And the idea was that with the deer go down to the beach, and then you go in a Zodiac in, and then you go deer hunting and bring home some venison. That's what I was told. This was the first year I was here. Got there. It was Night Island or something. We're way out. Weather changes. I don't know. We didn't pay much attention to the weather, and I'm wet behind the ears, a total greenhorn to Alaska. Two storm systems come in. Waves go to, I don't know, 10 foot, 8 to 10 foot swells. We're in a smaller vessel. And we head for a cove. When we get to the cove, there's other really big ships that are also in there, which is an indication that weather's not so good. It starts snowing. We lose our anchor. It goes bad. We got the satellite phone out. The bilge pump's not working. It's well below zero. I go to bed that night. And we've got the boat figured out where we're hoping it's going to stay, and we're going to get some sleep, and then we're going to try to figure it out in the morning. I go to bed that night. Well, I didn't sleep. I start praying. I'm like, "What, Lord? I must have missed you. I don't know what in God's name I'm doing out here, but I got revival. I don't really need a beer. I don't need a deer. I could go get some. I could order it online. I don't need a deer. I want you, Lord, help me, God. I don't want to die out here. I got stuff to do. I'm not going to freeze to death to call the satellite phone and get the Coast Guard to come and swoop down and pick me up. And you got to leave your gun, you got to leave everything away. I don't know. I don't want to do that." And I start getting scared. Fear turns into courage. Courage turns into the word of the Lord. And I believe it was an angel that came and spoke so clearly to me and said, "It's no longer about hunting. I'm going to give you a break in the weather. You run through that break, you get back and get home." I said, "Yes, Lord." Went to bed, wake up, which was like 3 hours later, 2 hours later. Somebody's watching the boat. It had cleared. It's beautiful out. You know, a little weather here and there, but minor. And the guy says, "Man, we should go hunting right now." I said, "We are not going hunting, bro." He said, "Pastor." I said, "Yeah, I got a word from the Lord. God spoke to me last night. We're leaving. We're going home." They said, "Okay." I said, "Great, let's go. There's a break in the weather." Do you know, we made it in as this weather came in. Two different storm systems came in and just hammered Whittier. We made it in by the skin of our teeth. When you know God, he'll bring you through things. Maybe I wasn't hearing from him to actually be on the boat as they're tapping their GPS to get it to work. I actually didn't follow through on the... Got off the boat, I said, "I'm buying my own GPS, I'm gonna carry it everywhere." Acts 27, and an angel come and say to him, don't worry, for you're going to testify. You're going to Rome. You're going to make it. Didn't look like it. Boat sinking. He needed an epic supernatural breakthrough, and he got one. You can walk in breakthrough. You can walk in deliverance. You can walk in freedom. You don't have to settle for whatever just comes your way. You don't have to settle for scraps that fall from the table. You can rise up and sit at the table yourself, blood washed, redeemed, but it takes fervent, passionate, unified, continuous prayer. And that separates many people because they don't want to do it. And so if you want to live as an impotent, lifeless Christian, hoping for the crumbs that fall, that's up to you. But not for me. I ain't doing that. And none of our team is either. We're long done away from, long done with smooth knee and an apathetic heart. I'm long done with half-hearted, half-measures Christianity that doesn't get anything done. No, here to take over, baby, for the glory of God. Can somebody say amen? You say, well, that sounds a little arrogant. No, it's just bold. I know what he called us to do. And we're going to keep doing it by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, as we stay low, as we stay broken, we stay humble, but fiery, passionate, consistent, fervent, unified prayer. That is the key for the miracle in your home, the miracle in your marriage. If you can get a married couple, come on, stand up on your feet. You can get a married couple, begin to pray like that, it's over. It's over. Money will flow, finances will flow, emotions will flow, everything will flow. Just get praying. And you teach your kids to do it. Have a prayer meeting at your house. I always know when kids have prayer meetings at their homes because they pray. Yeah, they go through shy stages, but do you have a prayer meeting in your house? Do you have a fervent? You're like, no. All right, well, just change it. Listen, I've been in meetings myself. I've been in this church since 1992. It's a long time. I've been in meetings where I heard a message like this, and I'm like, I just like pray over my food occasionally, and oftentimes I forget that. Lord, will you help me? And I would lift my hands, just like some of you are thinking right now. I lift my hands. I would say, God, will you make me a person of prayer? Well, you know, it didn't happen in the first 6 months, but I started praying more and I started learning and I went on a great journey of how to walk in supernatural breakthrough. And I'm just going to tell you, there's nothing all the days of your life that can stop you. Nothing. And not even death, because then you just go to heaven. So if you're not afraid of anything, you've got nothing to worry about. Don't be all cavalier and just go and do whatever you want. You can't do that either. You're restrained by the will of God and the word of God. And you do that and you contend. And it is God's will for your family to be saved. It's God's will for healing. It is always, always, always. Because in heaven, then there'd be sick people. So it's God's will for Paxton to be healed. We know that. And we pray it. You go lay hands and believe God. And if you're not right, you repent before you do it and just lay hands and believe. Come on, just begin to pray right now. I am concluded. How to have epic supernatural breakthrough. Continuous, passionate, fiery, ongoing, unified prayer.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.